Okay, today's daf is Trumas daf Yutes, and we are on the 19th daf here of Maseches Trumas, and we are on the top of Yutes and Manalap. We're in the middle of a conversation. If you remember, the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, our Perek Ein Tormin, said that we're not allowed to be Mafrish Tohar Al Hatame, which again, you might have said, what do you mean? That's much better. The Kohen would rather have Tar stuff than Tame stuff. But we said, when Machlokes, whether it is a Din Daraisa or a Din Darabanan, some say the Rambam seem to say it's a Daraisa, the Rash seem to say it's a Darabanan, Gzera. If we allow Tar Al Hatame, then you might not do it in Amukaf, because you're nervous that the Tar is going to become Tame, and we don't want that to happen. We want you to dafka do it in a mukaf, as we discussed on the last daf, all different questions within the halacha of min hamukaf, relating to what's tziruf and other, if you have stuff in the middle and tummy in the middle, how do you mitzarif? But we saw Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah said, no, Rabbi Eliezer argued in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said, tar min minatar ala tummy. Rabbi Eliezer says, you can be torim minatar ala tummy. So we had a question, how far does that go? Rabbi Eliezer says, all, you're always allowed to be taught, Mafish ben Atar al-Atame. So Rabbi Loi said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that only applies to moist items. Rabbi Eliezer says, moist items, so that you could be Mafrish ben Atar al-Atame. We'll have to see why that is. But and he explained, what's an example how you Mafrish ben Atar al-Atame by moist items? Because you want to get min amukaf, but you don't want to make the Tar stuff Tame. So those are the two things he's trying to work with, right? So how you usually, mukaf means they're touching. We learned last time, even if they're in the same house, but how do you do that? So he gave the example of, you have a funnel, you have a whole basket of tamei olives, and you take a funnel, and you touch the bottom of the funnel to the tamei olives, you put tahar olives in the funnel, so the bottom layer of olives in the funnel are going to get tamei, because they're going to be touching the tamei olives, but they're going to be less than the size of an egg. And we learned that to be mitamei others, food has to be the size of an egg, so you sacrifice the few eggs on the few olives on the bottom line. That already gets you min amukaf, but it's not going to be metame the olives on top. So that was what we said from Rabbi Loi's pshat of Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to be tar min atar latame by lach, right, by moist items, but you keep the funnel, you keep the hole in the funnel right small, so that it is not metame the olives on top. Fine, that's what we did last time. Say the Chachamim Amrulo, but they say back now, the top of Yutes Amud Aleph, the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Loi, no, I don't think that's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Okay, I agree with you that Rabbi Eliezer holds that by moist. Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to be mafrish, but atar al-atame. So Rabbi Loi says that it means by moist items. The Chachamim say back, no. You know what Rabbi Eliezer means? Only by mamish liquids. Not by moist items, by liquids. That's when you can be mafrish min atar al atame. Amru lo, ein lecha. We skip two words. Kari lach, ela yayin v'shemin bilvad. For this halacha, lach means wet. Not wet, just liquids. Yayin v'shemin bilvad. That's it. You see on the marafolda, v'lo zesim. Not olives. Av shem kvusha betzir, right? Even if they are pickling in brine, einon keruyin lach. That's not called moist. Vishuv avile yavish beyavish. And that's called dry. Even if they're moist, that's called dry. Vein tarmim, and after all the tummy, mishuv gzeris demukaf. Shigar gzer beyavish aisa. Right, as we, the Gemara is assuming. Rabbi Eliezer agrees by dry stuff. You can't be minamukav, you have the gzera, but what he allows is by moist, but not by moist. According to the Chachamim, it means liquids, mamish liquids, not just moist items. We'll have to see, so how do you do that? If you have liquids, how you mafrish minatar latame, minamukaf, but not making the liquids, the tar liquids tame. So we'll have to see that in a second. But this is specifically here, right? The question is, how do you define lach and yavish? Right, by Rabbi Lazar Shita here, about Menamukaf, putting it together, being Matame, so there's 2 days in the Gemara. Right, is it even olives that are wet? Right, or is it Mamish liquid? For Hilcha Shabbos, this also comes up. Right, what's called Lach, what's called Yavish, by Shabbos, right, because we know that, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. biyavish, right? Biyavish. By dry items, there's ein bishal achar bishal. We know, right? It says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yuches. Shin Yuches is the siman in Shulchan in Arachayim about bishal. Shin Yuches is borer, I think. Shin Yuches is bishal. Davar shin is bashal called sarcho, something that was cooked fully. Nizbasha Kotzarcha, remember we mentioned a couple of days ago, a week or two ago, right? The Machlokas Rambam Rashba, Bishul Bishabas. For sure, getting something to Machlu Ben Jusoy is Bishul Bishabas Daraisa. What about going from Machlu Ben Jusoy to Mavushal Kotzarcho? So that's a Machlokas Rambam Rashba. The Rashba is Meiko, the Rambam is Machmir, we're Machmir like the Rambam, Lechatchila, right? That Bishul is up to Mavushal Kotzarcho. That's what the Shulchan Aruch here says. Davarshin is Bashal Kotzarcho. Something that's been fully cooked. Vuhu Yavish. She'ein bo marak, and it's dry. Mutar l'anicho k'negan ha'medura. You're allowed to heat it up. K'negan ha'medura. Afil makam she'yatsu ledes bo. Right? Even in a makam she'yatsu ledes bo. V'yafilu nitztanein kvar. Even if it's cold. Right? Even if it's cold. Right? If I have a piece of chicken that's in the refrigerator, and I want to warm it up on Shabbos morning, so I can. You got to figure out how to do it in terms of the issues of hachzara. But for daraisa purposes, right, you could warm it up. You could, because it's ein bishul achabishul biyavish. Ein bishul achabishul biyavish. So the language of the Shulchan Aruch is, v'hu yavish she'ein bo marak. Ein bo marak. Says the, this is the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam holds ein bishul achabishul afilu balach. Even my liquid. The Rambam is not b'chalik between the two. That's why Teimanim passing like the Rambam. Going back to why did the Teimanim often passing like the Rambam, even against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch here does not passing like the Rambam. Once in a while you have that. 90% of the time, the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. Even if the Beis Yosef could scream at the Rambam in the Beis Yosef, often he'll just quote the Rambam verbatim, even after saying, I don't understand why he says that. But sometimes he'll change it. So this is one of them. Right? How many matzahs on Pesach? Right? The Shulchan Aruch says 3 matzahs. The Rambam says 2. The Gemara passes like the Rambam, 2. The Teimanim often have 2 matzahs. But here's another one. Right? Teimanim, the minhag is to warm up soup. Take soup out of the fridge. Right? Because ein bishul achar bishul afilu balach, even by mamish lach. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go that far. Shulchan Aruch says, as long as it is cooked fully and it's yavish, one is allowed to. Heat it up again. The Rama says later on that we paskin ein bishul achar bishul afilu balach if it's not in stadin legamrei. Right? If it's not totally cold. If it's still warm, then I can put it back on. So it's machlokas achronim. So what do we paskin? Me'ikra din ein bishal abishal afilu balach, but we're machra a little bit. Or if it's yesh bishal achabishal, but you know, is it a chumr? Is it a kula? Okay. But what's called lach? What's called yavish? Real chashavas. That's why I'm getting into this now. What's called yavish? What if you have something? I got this question on last week, right? What if you have something that is wet, but it's not soup, right? You have I don't know, kugel that's really oily. Is that called lach or yavish? So the poskim say that it seems to me that it is, that's called yavish. Right? Our gemara is b'chalik between lach and yavish. Lach means mamish liquid. Right? And the, what we said earlier, the first opinion was, no, even olives in liquid. So that's what we seem to be, poskin like for lach and yavish by the second opinion for Hilchos Shabbos. If it's soup, if it's sitting in a puddle, so that's lach. And therefore, one cannot warm that up Shabbos morning if it's going to get the yasul ladisbo. But if it's wet, it doesn't have to be mamish dry. Guess something that's wet, and that still would be called dry for heating it up Shabbos morning, right? If you have, as long as it's not sitting in a puddle, that would be okay. What happens if it's not sitting in a puddle now, but when I warm it up, it's going to be sitting in a puddle, right? What do you go by the what it is at room temperature, or do you go by what it is when it's warmed up? Right, so as you have stuff on the chicken, some type of gel or some types of fat on the chicken that's going to get wet. So the Shulchan Aruch says beferish, you go by room temperature. You go by what it is at room temperature, even if when you warm it up, it's going to liquefy. Still, that's called yavish for Hilchos Shabbos, and that's ein bishul achar bishul be yavish. That's the next Shulchan Aruch. Shin Yudches Tezayin mutar litein an panda. A person could put on panda, that's some type of kugel, right? The Mishnah Berurah says pashtida, pas kfula hamemula bachaticho shuman, right? Some type of a flour or Mizonos type of item. Let's see, you have like a noodle kugel filled with fat. There's no bishul, as we just said. And even though the fat is going to liquefy, it's still called dry. Because when you put it on the heating element, it's not wet yet. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins for Hilcha Shabbos, right? You go by room temperature. Room temperature regarding this halacha, right? So that's the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Tes Zayin. Okay, there's more, but that's for that halacha. When we, again, getting back to our case, we're talking about what's lachan yavesh for Hilchos becoming tame and tar, but this was explaining Rebbe Lazar. So back to our Gemara. Hey Chavita. So what the Chachamim say back? Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah, who says that you can be mafrish minatar ala tame. So what does that mean? So that only means by wet. By wet. What does wet mean? So the first opinion, Rebbe Loi said that means even moist olives, and we explained how you do that. By putting it in a mukaf and not being matami, you do use the funnel and the skinny bottom. Fine. But here, the Chacham just say back, he's talking about mamish liquid. Say chavidah. Mamish liquid, so how do you touch it together? If you have liquid that's tameh and you touch it to other liquid, the whole thing becomes tameh. Right? So how do you do that? Hey chavidah, what do you do? So the Tosefta says, kora achas l'shnei boros. Right? What if you have one board? Right? You have two boros. You have one bor. You have one big pit that the oil is going into. One's tamei, one's tahar. So you have olives on top. The olives are tahar. And you have one board that's crushing the olives. Half the olives are going into one pit. Half the olives are going into another pit. So one pit's tamei, one pit's tahar. That's the case. That's enough tsirif. That's called minamukaf. Because you're using one board, one crushing board on top, even though they're ending up into two different boros, that's enough to be called min hamukaf. And you can be mafrish from one bor tahor for the other bor that's tameh. Or, the brother Tosefta says, shnei koros labor echad. Or you have two boards, but it's all going into one bor. So Gemara says, 1 second. So how do you end up having some tahor, some tameh? Right, if it's one bor. So nicha karachad l'shnei boros. I understand that if you have one board for two boros, okay, you have two different boros, one's tamei, one's tahor. You can be mafish benatar ala tamei. Is that min hamukaf? Yeah, it's all one board. But el shnei karos l'bor echad, lo. But ask the Gemara, what does the Tosefta mean? Two boards, but the oil's all ending up in one pit, but then all the oil is tamei. Mitoch shenitma miksasa nitbu kulan. So what's the case? What's the case of one of two boards and one pit? How is that minamafresh minatara latame? So Gemara says, Rabbi Law, B'shem Rabbi Lazar, Tiftar, explain it. Shahaya belibo lasos tfusa achas. V'nim lach lasos o shtei tfusos. Wow, an added chiddush. You have two boards on top, and your plan was to crush these olives, and they should all go into one pit. And then you change your mind, and then it went to two pits. Because you originally had in mind that it should all go into one pit, that's enough to combine them to make it called minamukaf. Right now we're stretching the definition of minamukaf. Right, we had in the last off. Minamukaf could be in the same house as long as you don't have anything else in between. Right, minamukaf could be now you have one board that's crushing all the olives, and that one board is mitzarif even though it ends up into two boros. And now we have an added chiddush. You have two boards, and you're crushing the olives into two boros. But you originally planned to crush it into one bor. So because of that, that's good enough to be called min hamukaf. Right? Look at the last couple of skinny lines of the Mara Folda. Hoel umitchila kavanaso lasosan tfusa achas. Since originally you had in mind to make them into one tfusa, one container. Afal gav da hadar asan shtei tfusos. Even though you eventually afterwards made them into two. Holchim achar tchilas kavanaso v'havi le'mukaf. Right? You go after the original kavana. And that's called minamukaf. Okay, chiddush gadol, but that's what the Gemara says. That's what that Tosefta means. Amar Rabbi Yosi Barbon, hada de tamar, a limit on everything we've just said. When do we say, let's say you have two boros, and one's tameh, one's tahar, and you're allowed to be mafresh b'natar la tameh, going to Rabbi Lazar, because you use one board. When does that all apply? Hada de tamar, bishen nitma, misha shila, u misha kipa. We're going to go with the Marafolda's pshat, Chaim Kanevsky's pshat. This is only when, right, how do you make, let's say, olives, so, or grapes? Grapes, I have a, if you've ever been to a grape vat, or the old fashioned ones, you put the grapes all in this huge area of, you know, surrounded by stone. Unless they used to step on them. And then there was a little pipe that the wine went down into a lower area. And that's the Mishnayos and the Taras talk about the top part and the lower part. How it's Matami is that little pipe going down, a mitzaref. But in the bottom one, so you have a lot of wine. You have all the wine. But you also have a couple of seeds and peels that made their way through. Even though you have some type of netting on the pipe down, you try to block the seeds and the peels from going through. There's a few of them. But what happens after a few days that it stays there? The seeds and the peels float to the top. And then you remove them. That's Gemar Malacha, as we will learn in Maisras. That's Gemar Malacha. When does the Chiv of Shumas and Maisras kick in? If I'm making wine, right, it's only when it's finished processing. When's the finishing of the processing? When I take off that wine, I take off from the wine the peels and the dregs that float to the top. So that's what it's referring to here. When do we say that you can be mafresh ben atara latameh and it's considered one big nice tziruf with menamukaf? That's only if it became tameh after you did that. Misha shila umisha kipa. After you took off the seeds and the peels. Why? Because then right when Gemar Malacha happened, I took off the seeds and the peels, everything's still tahar. So now, both boros are subject to the chiv of truma. And now one becomes tameh, it's good enough. I can be mafresh minatara la tameh. But shekvar niru l'tarman betara, because it was already ra'uy, it would ever start, it was ready to be torim nitram betara. Avalim nitma achelo shila v'achelo kipa. But if it became tamei before I took off those seeds and before gemar malacha, then lo beda. So then Rabbi Lazar never said there that you can be mafresh minatara la tamei. Again, only if they were both ready, the chiv of truma kicked in when they were both tar, and then something happened and one of them became tamei. So that's where we say you can be mafresh min atar la tamei. But if one of the boros became tamei before you did the gemar malacha, so then he never said that there. And therefore, he would agree that you can't be mafresh min atar la tamei in that case. Good. So we have a machlokes, Rish Tanoim, and we have a machlokes in the Gemara, how far a blazer went with the Minatar Latame. But the Tanakama, if you remember, holds that we're not mafresh at all Min HaTohar Alatame. Again, Dindaraisa, Dindarabanan, as we have said. Who do we paskin like? So Rav Tevi, Rav Yoshia, Rav Yanai, Halacha Kribi Eliezer, Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman, Mishem Roshia, Halacha Kribi Eliezer, Rav Huna, Rav Chananya, Ein Halacha Kribi Eliezer, Rav Yossi Bar Bun, Rav Yehuda Bar Shmuel, Mishem Shmuel, Ein Halacha Kribi Eliezer. So we have a 2-on-2. Also, Uvda Kumi, Rav Imi had the Shaila, Velo Hori, he didn't give a psak, he didn't know what to do. Amar, Train Kakaval, Train Inun. There's 2 against 2. It's unusual. Usually, you don't tally up shitos about how many rabbis on each side, and then you make the decision then. Usually you have rules. You have rules, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, you have rules in the Tanaim. Who do you paskin like? Usually you don't do this. Rabbi Avadi Yosef does this often. He'll tally up the shitas and say, who we paskin like? Well, Rov Rishonim, because it's 14 to 12. Right? Rov Rishonim, and his son also does this sometime, he'll use Svek Sveka in Psak. Right, most of the time we use Svek Sveka in content. We have a Svek Sveka, what does the Gemara say in the beginning? Beisa, you have an egg that's mixed up. So you're not sure if this egg was laid on Yantiv, and even if it was laid on Yantiv, it got mixed up to a bunch of other eggs, and maybe this is not the egg. You don't say Svek Sveka, maybe that looks like the Rambam, and even if it's not like the Rambam, maybe it's like the Trumas Hadeshen. Right, so we don't usually do that, Rav Avadia does that in Psak. He uses Svek Sveka in terms of Psak, in terms of numbers. So here, this is an interesting one. Rav Imi didn't want a Paskin because he said it's 2 against 2. 2 against 2. I don't know what to do. One more line. So Amrin Le, but they say to him, "V'harab Yitzchak Bar Nachman Hori." But Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman paskins. Why don't you follow him? What is this question of Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman? He was one of the ones that said that halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So what's the shaila? Three sheetas on the page. The Marafolda says that Kishmai Sivakaimel on Maisarav. What does that mean? You can give a psak in the base medrash, but if you paskin that way based in real life, that has much more significance. That's called Maisa Rav. He actually paskin that way. He didn't just tell it, say in the Beis Medrash. Right, the I heard from an Ein Neman, I've heard it, and then it was confirmed that Moshe Feinstein sometimes would follow an Orach HaShulchan when it was against the Mishnah Berurah, because the Orach HaShulchan was a community rabbi, right? So Maisa Rav, it wasn't just a Rosh Hashiva in the Beis Medrash. Again, the Mishnah Berurah was the Mishnah Berurah, but that's why I've heard that sometimes he would go like the Orach HaShulchan over the Mishnah Berurah because of that Maisa Rav element. That's how the Mara Fult understands the question. You look in the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe says, maybe it's if he paskin that way, maybe it's it adds a rabbi on one of the sides, Rav Yisrael bar Nachman, because earlier he only said that b'shem Ravoshia, so maybe that was two, but maybe he actually paskin that way, so now it's three against two. If you're doing the numbers, right, that's three against two. If you look in the Rav Chaim Kadievsky, he says de gavra rabahu, but he's a great man, so if he paskin that way. So there's three different ways of understanding the question of the Gemara, and he paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara answers afilu kein la ori, even so. He did not paskin that way. Rav Imi was too nervous to paskin against. But that's, who do we paskin like? Perek, hey, Allah Chazayin, and Trumas, right? The Rambam. What does the Rambam paskin like? Halacha Zayin. The Rambam in Hey Zayin. The Rambam ain't Tarmin Elamin Ayafa. This Perek is all about, what you should be mafresh from and for, says the Shulchan, says the Rambam, ain't Tarmin and Atar Latame. We pass like the Chachamim, right? We don't pass like either version of Rebbe Eliezer. Ein tarmim and atar latame. V'im taram shumaso truma. If you did the eved shumaso truma. Okay, but lachadchila ein tarmim and atar latame. V'alach l'moshe misinai. As we saw earlier on the eagle shell dvela, right? If it's one unit, so then you're allowed to be mafresh minatar alatame, as we had earlier. She goes to the Shinibah Victasa, Tarma Lachachilim minatar Shabo, alatame Shabo. Velo ego bovad, Shehu guf echad, el afilu aguda shel yarek. The Rambam passes like our Mishnah, right? Afilu arema shel chitim, she nimtes Victasa, Tarma Natar Shabo, alatame Shabo. Avon hoi shnei igulam, o shnei agudos, o shnei aremos. Right, the Rambam Paskin is like everything we saw already in the beginning of the parak. As long as it's one unit, you can be mafresh minatar alatame, but not if it's two units, v'chulu. So that's in the Rambam. We Paskin. So Rav Imi was nervous, but the Rambam knew who he Paskin like. And that is, we Paskin against Rabbi Eliezer. By the way, the whole idea of tziruf, right, we're not being mafresh nowadays, tar alatame, everything is tame. Tziruf comes up, I think we mentioned this also, regarding hafreshas chala. Right, versus challah, that we mentioned that if you want to be mafresh from one dough, but if the dough was, let's say the challahs were already baked, so you put a big towel over all of them to be mitzaref them. But then the shaila is, let's say, I've been asked the question, well, you're making smaller doughs. You're making smaller doughs, less than the amount that needs hafrasha. But what if you're going to put them all in the refrigerator? Is the refrigerator mitzaref? Right, what if they're in separate bags in the freezer? Right, so is that mitzarif? Do I have to be nervous that I'm making doughs that are each smaller? I'm just making cookies each time, but by the time I finish, the end of the week, they're all going to be in the refrigerator or the freezer together. So is that enough of a tziruf? That's a discussion. Generally, we're makel, especially if they're in their own separate tinfoils, their own separate bags. But if there's an important footnote about this in the Shmir Shabbos, in the second volume, Perek Membeis, the Ha'ara Lamites. Right, for chal, we mentioned chala has a higher standard. It's not just sirif for minamukaf. Minamukaf is different than chala. It has to be called one dough. One dough. Ariso sechem. So this is, you need a higher standard. They're not touching. Is the refrigerator called a basket? Anyway, goes through a lot of the shittas here. But we continue. So says the Mishnah. Now we get to the next. Says the Gemara. Says we get to the next part of the Mishnah. Right. The Mishnah said in terem minatame ala tahar. Right. Minatame ala tahar. So that we mentioned Tosfos and Yavamis had two deis about what this is, what the source for this is. Why can't I give tame ala tar? Either Tosfos said it's minara la yafe, right? Lo velo la oro. We had a couple of days ago what the source for this is. But now we're going to quote a Mishnah in Tevul Yom, which eventually, not today, which eventually will relate to our discussion. But now we learn Baruch Hashem the Mishnah Tevul Yom. If you look in Tevul Yom, this is the last Mishnah in Maseches Tevul Yom. If you ever open up in Maseches Tevul Yom, the last Mishnah in Maseches Tevul Yom, the end of the fourth parak. Taman Taninan. What's the case? What's going on in this? A person has, I have a big pit of wine. Big pit of wine, I want to be mafresh truma. So how are you mafresh truma? I stick a pail into the pit. I fill the pail with wine. And then when do I designate it as truma? So I want to make it minamukaf. So what do? So the Mishnah explains, while it's still, let's say I put my pail in the pit, it's above the wine, but now it's still in the pit. So while it's in the air above the pit, hare ze truma. Fine. So that's enough minamukaf because it's still within the walls of the pit, but it's separated. It's truma. But there's a worry. What if it falls back in? Then I'm stuck. Because then I have truma that just fell into the whole thing. And now the whole thing is meduma. Right? So what do? Or, let's say it's going to become tameh and then get mixed up. Right? So the Mishnah talks about, you can make a tnai. You can make a tnai. This is truma as long as I safely take it away from the pit. Right? Or as long as I safely keep it tahar. So that's what the Mishnah says. What if I say, I make an amanas that I do it safely? What does safely mean? Does that mean not falling back in? Or does that mean not becoming tamei? So, torim es habor v'amar, a person can be torim from the pit. V'amar ezu trum amanasha tala b'shalom. If somebody says, amanas that I get this pail b'shalom, you know, away from the pit. So what does b'shalom mean? Shalom from what? Shalom from what? So, the Tanakhama says, shalom min ha-shever, shalom min ha-shvicha, avalom min ha-tuma. Shalom from its breaking, or spilling out. That's what I have in mind. If I just say, shalom, so that means, because I'm nervous, it's going to fall back in, then it's going to be all be medume, and it's only roi for a kohen to eat it, it's going to cause me a big financial loss. So, avalom min ha-tuma, but he doesn't have tuma in mind. Doesn't have tum in my why. The Mefarshim on the Mishnah explain, maybe it's not a shriach is spilling out. Maybe by tumah, it only causes the kohen a loss. It doesn't really cause me a loss. So either way, that's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Omer Afman HaTumah. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have everything in mind. You have all eventual occurrences and accidents and mishaps that might happen. You have that all in mind. Omer Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Ben Chanina says, though, which... This is not in the, Rabbi Chanina is in the Tosefta related. What type of tum are you nervous about? Betumas tful yom imas nisa. You're worried about tful yom. A tful yom, if you remember, is someone who went to the mikvah, but he has to wait till, sunset in order to become tahar. That's a tful yom. He's tavol, but he's not tahar yet. A tful yom is the only one that's gonna be around a wine press. Says Rabbi Yosef Rachanina. Tame people are not gonna be real, if I'm tame mace, I'm not going to be walking around a wine press because there's a good chance I might touch the wine and make it tameh. A tful yom is a sheni latuma. Tful yom has the status of a sheni. So a tful yom can't make chulin tameh. That's the rule. Right? An av and a rishon, you can make a chulin into a sheni. But a sheni can only make a shlishi by a truma and kachim. And a shlishi can only make a revi by kachim. So which tameh people are going to be walking around the wine press? Nobody wants them there. Because they're going to make the wine tameh. A tful yom can, because there's no truma here yet. It's all chulin tevel. So there's only going to be a tful yom. You got to be nervous when you start getting the truma in the pail out. So that's why tful yom are the only ones that are going to be around. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, when the person's worried about tuma, which tuma people are we talking about? We're talking about tful yom. Why? Amar Rabbi Loi, Shekin Tful Yom, Mitzuyim Ben Agitos. Those are the ones that are found in the wine presses. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ein L'Tful Yom Maga Eitzel Tevel. Because when a Tful Yom touches Tevel, nothing happens. Tevel is Chulin. And as we know the rules, right? Remember we mentioned last week, we have to know Pirshim Mishnayis of the Rambam Lakdama, we have to know it by heart, the Rambam said. To know all those 10 pages by heart, but at least the basic rules. Right, Rishon Aven Ein Adam Nitma Elam Yava Tuma, and food can only chulin can only become tame for a mavera Rishon Latuma. A sheni can make a shlishi only by Truman Kachim, shlishi by Ravi only by Kachim. So here, that's what Tuma is possible here. Says the Gemara Tani. Should we talk about it here? You know what? Maybe. I'll talk about Tful Yom for a minute. And then we'll start with Tani. Tful Yom is if you ever think about it, it's a interesting concept. So I went to the mikvah, and first off in Shas, Brachas Dabez in the Bavli. I went to the mikvah, so now I can eat Maaser Sheni, but I can't eat Truma until the nighttime, and I can't eat Kashim until tomorrow when I bring my Karban, if I'm Mechusar Kippurim. So what am I? Am I Tar or am I Tameh? I went to the mikvah already. I have to do nothing else except wait for the day to end. So, am I tahar, but the Torah is machmir? Or am I still tameh? I still have a vestige of my tumah. I went down, but I'm still called tameh. So there are different formulations in the Rishonim about this. But the Achronim have their chakira. Ha'im atful yom nishar but tumaso. I'm less tameh than I was, so I can eat my shosheni, but I'm not fully tahar yet. I'm still tameh. Or do I say, no, 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 the ton. I'm tahar. There's a new tumah that the Torah puts on me, you know, regarding truma and the kachims. That's a big shaila about, and you look in the different formulations, right? The Rambam, just read you one Rambam, right? The Rambam discusses, in B.S. Mikdash, Dalad Dalad. The Rambam talks about a Kohen who's a Tful Yom is not allowed to do avod in the base of Mikdash. And the Rambam's lashon is, Shezu Asharu L'Tful Yom, this is an Avar for Tful Yom, Sha'avad, Sha'adayin, Tamehu, he is still Tameh, that's his lashon. Asharu L'Tful Yom, Sha'avad, Sha'adayin, Tamehu, Shenemar Rabu HaShemesh V'Toher, Michlal, Sha'adayin, Lo Tar, that's the Rambam's lashon. There's other lashonos that we show him that doesn't say, no, they're tar, but there's a chiddush haTorah. A lot of the action comes up. The Rambam holds a separate lo sase doraisa. The Rambam paskins based on the Gemara. The Rambam has a tamei person is not allowed to do avoda, and a kohen tful yom has an isur doraisa. It's a separate lo sase. There's a lo sase for tamei, lo sase for tful yom. Ask many of the Rishonim on the Rambam. Isn't a tful yom just a tamei? He's not tar yet. So what do you need a separate lo sase for? This was asked to none other than the Rambam's son. Right in the Maisa Nisim, which is a whole sefer written by Rav Daniel Abavli's questions to the Rambam's son, Rav Avraham and Rambam, about sefer HaMitzvahs. Why does the Rambam do this? Why does the Rambam do that? So this is one of the questions. One of the questions, why does the Rambam paskin quote two different lo sases for Tamei and Tful Yom? He doesn't hold Mechusa Kippurim. He doesn't paskin the separate one from Mechusa Kippurim. But those two, that's one of the questions. So he says, what you asked about Tful Yom, he says, because it's a mistake what you're asking. Katuma nistalekes mitfila. When he goes to the mikvah, the tumah is gone. Shenemar uvrachatz bamayim vitoher. He's tahar. So you can't say Tful Yom is included in tumah. Ena kavanaki chasulam tarish lema. He's not fully tahar. But he's tar, so you can't include this in Tful Yom in the Lo Sase about a Tameh doing the Avodah, because he's not Tameh. That's a Rambam and a Rambam. If you look at Rav Yochav Fisher Perlau, he says, look at the Rambam that we just read in B.S. Mikdash, Dalad Dalad. The Rambam says, Beferish, Afal Pishu Tameh, or a Dayan Tameh. So this is a Levitic sugya about the relationship between Tful Yom and Tameh. How many mitzvahs do you count? What is it called in Lumdus? But there's a lot to talk about. But again, we're in the middle of a conversation here. What did we just do so far? All we quoted was a Mishnah in Tful Yom when somebody is taking their truma out and they make a tnai. It's only truma if it's shalom. I didn't finish the line. Meaning, if it breaks, then l'mafreya, it's not truma. And therefore, it's all still tevel and I'm all good, and I can start again. That's why I'm making this tonight, because I don't want to run into problems. And when I take it away from the whole bar, now it's shalom, and now the truma kicks in for sure. So that's what all the Mishnah said so far. When I say shalom, does it mean from breaking, or also from tumah, and which type of tumah? Tuma of a Tful Yom, because those are the only people that are semi-tameh that are going to be around the Gat. Okay, we'll have to start with Tani, and we'll have to get into what this has to do with our Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop here.